2024 and people are still creating new Bitcoin wallets? Well, with my guest today, they make a pretty good case for there's still a lot of innovation to be had for a really good, strong Bitcoin wallet that's focused on self-custody, but also has some good innovations. So today I have Shazan Oridia on the podcast. He is the CEO and co-founder of Lava Wallet, and they're doing some pretty interesting things. It's a fantastic mobile-first wallet on iPhone and Android, focused on self-custody, and built around some key concepts with a different way to import your seed phrase and how you do recovery, an easy way to on and off ramp, a loans product, and a way to pay that we really haven't seen before, especially because they're not using just BTC, but also stable coins. He has a really refreshing perspective on a lot of these things and approaches them from a first principles way. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. Without further ado, let's jump into this great conversation with Shazan Oridia, CEO of Lava.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Shazan, how you doing today, my man?
Doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic, man. Good to see you. I think we first touched base. We met in Miami almost 2 years ago, I think, at one of the after parties.
Yeah, almost. Probably around 2 years ago.
Yeah, right, that's crazy. And were you, if I remember correctly, were you fresh out of college at that time?
I dropped out of college, yeah.
My man. So what, that's probably my first question then, because like, you know, seeing you post on Twitter, seeing what you built, like you think very deliberately, you're a deep thinker on some of these topics, especially in a space filled with noise, which is refreshing. And you've built things in a very like concise way, which I love to see. But, you know, especially at that time, like I guess AI was kind of still early, but like I could definitely see you being like an AI guy building some, you know, big company in Silicon Valley. So like what made you out of like dropping out of college want to build on Bitcoin?
I mean, I had some AI jobs before, like, you know, in college or even like before I started college. So I'd worked with AI. But really, I think the reason I started Lava was mostly because it was a solution that I wanted to use for myself. Like I had some ventures that I'd done, I'd made some money. And once I'd made some money, I think a lot of people that make money, they go down this rabbit hole of how to figure out how to actually secure that money, right? Where to put it. And as I explored like the financial system, I realized a lot of the issues I saw in it were a result of the financial system being really centralized. So I got really interested in this concept of self-custody. And I just wanted to use Bitcoin. And at that time, I mean, digital dollars have become recently very prominent, but in the last years, they've grown a lot. But I wanted to use, you know, digital dollars, Bitcoin, and do things with it. And I just didn't find a great solution. So that's really why I started building Lava.
Love it. Love it. And we can jump into what Lava's building. So you're building a wallet. And yeah, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, great. Another, like, do we need another wallet? Like, are you serious? You're going to change one feature? But it sounds like, so you started with self-custody is the thing. But when you go to your website, there's like a big, bold statement. It says save in Bitcoin, spend in dollars, which is already like kind of heresy for some Bitcoiners because they just want to hodl forever and like never, you know, convert back into fiat or into dollars. So yeah, help me understand like you kind of touched on it, but like as you're starting to go down this rabbit hole, like how to build something and you're looking at the landscape of, you know, what was missing. How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I think there are a few things like that I think are missing in the space and what we're trying to solve with Lava. One is just like functionality within self-custody, right? Like the ability to easily buy to self-custody and withdraw back to like your bank account just from self-custody. Better transaction user experience and speed and fees. And also just like self-custody security, like how to actually like securely hold your Bitcoin and maybe like your digital dollars in a way that you can always access them, but also wanting to make sure that they're safe from attackers. And then also just like other functionality that we can kind of touch on today, like loans, for example, borrowing against your Bitcoin without trusting a bridge or a central custodian with your Bitcoin, because we've seen how that's gone over the last 2 years with all these tens of billions of dollars of lost funds, right? So yeah, that was really the preface of why I wanted to build this. And we can kind of touch on how we're trying to combat each of these problems.
Yep, totally. Cool. And then before we jump in, I want to make sure we're using terms correctly. So when you say digital dollars, is this, it's the same as stable coins?
Yeah, I use digital dollars to think about dollars that are like backed one-to-one by like dollars in a bank account. And then I think of like algorithmic dollars. I think in this crypto world, we have like algorithmic dollars that might be, you know, collateralized by some asset, maybe collateralized by ETH or something. Or, you know, like there was like the Terra collateralized stable coin or whatever. But I think about digital dollars more as dollars that are just backed one-to-one. Like, I think there's like three types of dollars. There's like cash dollars, like physical dollars, right? They're just issued by a bank, also can be redeemed, and have some like regulatory guarantees around that. Bank dollars, just dollars you hold in a bank. And then now we have digital dollars like USDC, for example.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, so you have Bitcoin, which you know what you're getting when you buy Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. To kind of like treat as a store of value and protect your purchasing power. And then for you, digital dollars, there's only two then really that fit that definition, right? USDT and USDC?
Yeah. USDC, USDT. I mean, USDC is a little bit more, you have more confidence in the structure, like, you know, like regulatory confidence that it's backed.
Yep.
And USDT. But basically any dollar that tries to be in one-to-one backed. And I think we're going to get, we can go on and on about digital dollars, but a lot more like confidence that they're all backed in the next few years. I think there's a lot that's going to go on about that from like a regulatory perspective.
Yep, makes sense. Okay, then let's start.
Confident you can redeem your cash anywhere, right? For just like bank dollars.
Totally. Yeah. Yep, makes sense. Okay, then let's start jumping into Lava. Maybe give us the high level, like give us the 6-second pitch of what is Lava and like some of the key features, and then we can deep dive.
Really? So Lava is really meant for people or just like Bitcoiners who want to really just hold their Bitcoin and spend with dollars. So really we're trying to build like a secure and functional experience around anything you'd want to do with Bitcoin and dollars in self-custody. So we have this new product we're announcing. Well, we'll be live when this podcast is out. Basically, it's our Lava Vault. And it has basically three main features right now that you can download and use. One is Lava Smart Key, which is our security feature. There we really try to think about how to solve one of the biggest problems in self-custody, which is recovery. Like, billions have been lost by people who just lose their seed phrases and can't access their funds anymore. So we wanted to make a self-custody recovery solution that gave you confidence that you could always recover access to your funds and customize it to your needs. I think if you really think about what we're doing with self-custody, we're helping you store your digital assets, right? In a way, we're trying to link your physical, like your actual identity with this digital identity. And so I think your digital identity in a privacy preserving way should be a reflection of these devices that you own, some of the things that you can remember and some of the people that you trust. And really Lava Smart Key, the goal is help you create this digital identity in a way that works for you now and then a way that can adapt to you in the future and then help you secure your most important thing in the digital space, your digital assets with this digital identity. So that's really what Lava Smart Key, we're really trying to push the barrier on self-custody security. And then we have Lava Connect, which is just basically a global on-ramp and off-ramp for Bitcoin and digital dollars within self-custody. So if you want to, instead of having to open an account with Coinbase or another place, you can just log into Lava and buy Bitcoin, for example. And what we do is we have integrations with a bunch of different exchanges so we can make sure you get the best price when you buy Bitcoin directly to self-custody. And then we have Lava Free Pay, which is basically just free digital dollar transactions globally. You can kind of think about it as like a global Venmo.
Perfect. That's a perfect overview. So Lava Smart Key for recovery and seed phrase management, if you will. Lava Connect to buy on and off ramp, and Lava Free Pay. Love it. So let's go one by one. Probably the most interesting, in my opinion, and maybe the hardest to grok initially, is Smart Key. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get a lot of pushback online from this topic because I personally hate the seed phrase. Like, I don't think it scales at all. I don't even have mine stamped on steel. Like, most of them are, like, still paper, and I have them just, like, in two different places. So if one catches on fire, I can just go to the other one. Mm-hmm. But I don't have huge bags. So, like, as that bag increases, like you said, I'll get more aggressive in how I secure that. But some Bitcoiners think it's good enough, and, you know, they have their opinion. And then you've seen some people do, you know, like Ledger Recover, which got a ton of pushback for, you know, allowing third parties to shard out the key. Mm-hmm. And then BitKey is like kind of like the newest entrant. So maybe help us compare against the current landscape and then like deep dive into what Smart Key is.
Yeah. I mean, we can just touch base. I think the most common setup right now is something like a wallet with the seed phrase, right? As like your recovery policy. I think I've seen so many issues people had with seed phrases. At the end of the day, seed phrases are a single point of failure, right? If someone wants to compromise your funds, there's like a single piece of paper or wherever you're writing down the seed phrase that they have to compromise for you, them to access all of your funds. So it's a single point of failure. And I think one thing we should really try to do with security is eliminate single points of failure. And another issue with seed phrases is it's not just a single point of failure where someone can compromise it and access all your funds. It's also a single point of failure where if you lose that seed phrase, you can't, and like you broke your phone or your whatever you're signing device with, you won't be able to access your funds, right? And people have made so many mistakes with seed phrases that you wouldn't even really think about, like bad handwriting, their dog ate it, they just lost it, got burned in a house, like so many different things, right? So really we wanted to, I think we got to acknowledge one is that seed phrases are just not a great solution and there has to be something better. And that was like the first step. In fact, in the beginning days of Lava, we were experimenting with these other features like Lava Connect and Lava Free Pay. We just had a seed phrase solution, right? And we just had to remove it because people just have so many issues with seed phrases. Even the most like competent Bitcoin developers have faced issues securing their funds with seed phrases, actually.
No, totally. Like my biggest fear is that because I have terrible handwriting. I've never been good at it. And so like I never write more clear than when I'm writing my seed phrase down. And I'm still like, is that an E? Is that a G? What is that word? And so like you have to like write it out and then immediately go into another like browser wallet that's like open and type it in to make sure that like that's good to go before you can do anything else. Mm-hmm. So totally get it. The need for something beyond 12-word seed phrases to scale to the masses. Hopefully people are on board with there. But then how are you doing this in practice? Because the ones we've seen to date are mostly some blend of a hardware wallet and some other third-party services. Mm. And like the newest one is BitKey, where it's like a smartphone app plus a little like NFC thing. But you guys are just a smartphone app, right? So how are you guys doing this?
Yeah, so yeah, one thing is everything with Lava Smart Key is free. Or my goal is really just to keep it free forever. I think a lot of other wallet solutions have some like fee for any of these added services, right? And the way we're going to subsidize is we're going to build like other functionality on top of just self-custody security and make money there. But the way we think about it is so you don't want to like a single point of failure. So what we do is we create this two of two backup. So I'll talk about recovery first because practically for most users, you can think about security as safety, like protecting your funds from an attacker, right? And then recovery, like making sure you can always access your funds. But practically for like 99% of users, recovery is like the way that they screw up, right? So let's talk about recovery. So the way Lava Smart Key works is we basically create this backup. And what we do is we split your recovery information into two parts. And one part is tied essentially to your cloud account. And another part is tied to this 4-digit PIN. And I can go into more detail about how that really works, how we split it up and make it so that both of these coming together can help you get this recovery information. if you want me to go more in depth about
that. No, I say that, so just to quickly bracket, so you're saying it's a 2 of 2, and the reason you want to focus on recovery is because, if you have like a wrench attack and someone knows your PIN, they could just beat you over the head, they grab your phone, they send it to their address, and, it's gone. But that's rarer as an attack vector. It's much more likely that, you're gone, someone breaks into your house, or they find your seed phrase somehow. That single point of failure, it's in their pocket now. They've left the premises, and you have no way to protect at that point unless you catch it in time to, move funds to a separate wallet. So the 2 of 2 gives you additional security in that regard. And so, let's jump in. You said it's tied to a cloud account, and there's a 4-digit PIN involved. So, how do these work together?
Exactly. Like the two safety risks you said, they're rare, but we do have ways to protect against those two. But the main risk is people are just losing access to their seed phrase, right? Just forgetting it or whatever. So the way the 2 of 2 works is, so in general, the way a wallet, for users who aren't aware, the way a wallet is generated, it's generated by this piece of information, right? And if you have access to this piece of information, let's just call it like your seed phrase, right? Or like some entropy information, right? You can generate your wallet. So what you want to do, and the way like people, handle recovery right now is they just make that piece of information their seed phrase, right? So what we do is there is underlying a seed phrase, but what we do is we encrypt it. And you don't want to do encryption in a way that it's just like you encrypt it by the 4-digit PIN, right? Because in that case, if the encrypted material was ever compromised, it's really easy to break the encryption and just get access to the seed phrase. So really at the end of the day, which is a lot of other wallets do this in the space, especially a lot of crypto wallets, will just do some password-based encryption. And it's like basically tied just to like your cloud account. It's not even stored in secure storage. So for instance, you can just accidentally delete your encrypted material and then lose access to your funds. So there's like a lot of other risks there as well. So what we do is the encryption is actually done by a high entropy encryption key, which is stored on this server, a key server. It doesn't store any information about you. And you authenticate requests to access that high entropy encryption key using a 4-digit PIN that you manage, if that makes sense. So there's this 4-digit PIN, that's what you need to manage. And then there's this encrypted material. This encrypted material is stored in your cloud account in secure storage. So it can't just be deleted by you on accident, for example. So that's I don't know if I went too in depth there. Let me know if I have any questions.
Let me double check. So you mentioned on the seed generation is this piece of data. Is that what people talk about when they say things like dice rolling? When it comes to seed generation, is that the kind of data you're talking about that's like novel for just that specific wallet?
Yeah, it's like you just want to have some like entropy, right? Like your seed phrase is generated by some like entropy, right? It's like some random.
And entropy is randomness at some level in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like this mnemonic, these letters are used at the end of the day to generate your private keys, essentially, or like a set of private keys. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. And
but
then
what you can really think about is like that is some information, right?
Yep.
And you just want to have people either actually hold that information like a seed phrase would do, or maybe split it up in different ways so they don't have, they aren't susceptible to the risk of losing that or having someone compromise that one piece of information that they hold loses their funds.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense. And then one point of clarity on the way the wallet's constructed. Do you have to start new and go through that flow, or can you bring in your own mnemonic?
So we don't right now let you bring in your own mnemonic just because it's horrible practice. There was like there have been some like issues actually in like last year where like you would like bring a mnemonic from another wallet, but then the other wallet had maybe had an issue that this actually happened, and then your user's funds got compromised because they had they had generated the mnemonic on another wallet. Does that make sense? So we had this functionality, but after seeing that exploit, we just realized it's such bad practice to bring information from another wallet, right? We recommend people just sweep funds to like a new wallet or send it to this new wallet.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. And then, so you create a new, account or a new seed phrase, it's encrypted, and then it's encrypted in the iCloud account, and it's kind of enclosed with the PIN that you choose, right? Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, I mean, if you download Lava, actually, you can just start using it even without setting up security, just for users who want to just get a feel for it. But really, everything is really abstracted from you. All you really have to do is create a forwarded to pin. We handle all that encryption and storing it in your cloud account, secure storage. Once you set that forwarded to pin, that all gets done in like a second. So you're not even like really aware of it. This just happens in the background. But really what's happening here is your iCloud account is now storing this piece of encrypted information in secure storage. So don't worry about accidentally getting it deleted. And you're managing this forwarded to pin. And the idea here is it's now a two of two, right? What you can do then is you can set, let's say you're like worried about each one side of that two of two, like losing access to it. For example, you're worried that maybe, for instance, you lose access to your cloud account. You can set trusted recovery contacts that can help you recover your cloud account. Apple and Google, for example, have already set up a pretty robust way to do this. If you're worried about losing access to your four-digit PIN, which is pretty rare, you can actually set up ways to recover that after a 30-day time delay. So we've really helped try to make it so you can customize your recovery policy for the level of protection you want.
Got it. No, I love it. And then, so on the cloud account front, how much, you're trusting Apple at some level there and iCloud in this encrypted format. What's the trust assumptions there? Because I'm sure people are going to be wary.
Yeah, and when we released this, we're also releasing an article with all the trust assumptions you make and how to mitigate them. So, for example, Apple has access to this encrypted information, but like I said, this encrypted information alone can't be used to access your funds, right? This is contrary to these other wallets that do this password-based encryption, where accessing that encrypted information could compromise your funds, like simply because you can break that encryption, right? So Apple can, what they could do is they could censor you from recovering your funds if you broke your phone and you went onto a new phone. But if you're worried about that risk, we actually have a way for you to export this encrypted material and store it in a physical backup or in another cloud service or even like on another device. Does that make sense? So you can set up like fully self-sovereign recovery for the user that is worried about this. So we have this like default level of security, right? Where you make maybe certain trust assumptions about like maybe being censored from recovery or something. But if you're worried about any of these risks, we've got ways for you to mitigate them.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay, cool. And one thing I'll say for people out there, one of the nice things about using this is because tied to your iCloud account, when you log in and log out, I tried it, deleted the app, came back in, it just pulled my info again, and I was right back. So the UX flow of okay, do I create a new wallet? Do I restore? I go find my 12 words. Like, your phone's in your pocket. Your phone is, no one leaves the house without their phone. Like, it's the most secure thing we got out there. And so the UX flow of it, once you get over the trust assumptions, it's actually really, really nice to use and flow from, I got a new phone, log into my iCloud, download Lava, we're good to go.
Exactly. And all these trust assumptions, if you're worried about any of them, you can set up ways to recover, mitigate these trust assumptions. If you're worried about this high entropy encryption key being stored on this key server, you can opt out of that. You can store it in a physical backup, for example, if that makes sense. Yep. There's all these ways for you to set up fully self-sovereign recovery. If you're worried about losing access to your four-digit PIN, you can store it in your own ways, or you can get access to this time-delayed recovery service, right? If you're worried even about inheritance, you can set up a legacy contact. We have a whole guide on how to set up an inheritance plan. So there's all these different risks that we try to help you mitigate.
Yep, love it. Very, very robust self-custody. Okay, like that. So that's Lava Smart Key. So let's jump into the next thing, Lava Connect, which is your on-ramp, off-ramp. And I think most people who have played with this kind of stuff, you either buy an exchange, that's pretty straightforward, or wallets will have MoonPay or Transact as providers. So and it sounds like it's closer to that, but help me understand, compared to what the market's used to, what is Lava Connect?
Basically, there's all these different services that help you buy directly to self-custody and I mean, and withdraw funds directly back to your bank account from self-custody, right? But each of them serves a certain like geography better, right? There's not like this one service that is best across the entire world. So what we've really built there is just like we have this data about like which services provide the best prices based on your location for you and the best experience in general, best experience. And what we do is based on where you're located when you're like, we don't like store that data, but we can see that right from your phone when you log in or whatever, where you're located, we get you the best exchange. So you don't have to worry about, oh, do I want to use Coinbase Pay, Transact, MoonPay, and like search all these different options, right? It's really useful for a user who's new to self-custody and just wants to, would we rather onboard these users directly to Coinbase and then they'll probably never touch self-custody, or directly to self-custody and they can buy directly to self-custody, right?
Yep. Yep. Makes sense. And so is this totally abstracted from the user? So I have no idea who I'm buying from. I just know that I'm going to Lava Connect and I'm paying X price and getting this much BTC.
Oh yeah. We give you insight about who the partner is, like the exchange partner.
Okay.
Easy flow.
Yep. And is there a lot of these on off ramps are KYC'd before you can buy? Is that the case here too?
Yeah. Anytime you touch bank dollars, like you always have to, you know, like KYC yourself, essentially. Anytime you touch like traditional banking rails, you have to KYC. We don't really store any of that. We don't store any KYC information, for example.
Got it. Okay.
So that's just done through like the exchange, right?
Makes sense. I'm actually surprised as I'm thinking about it, like the fact I have to choose my provider and like choose my fee is stupid. So I'm shocked no one's built this, but you've built it now. Do you plan to integrate this as like another revenue source, like integrate into wallets, for example, and like white label it?
We have like other wallets that are also just going to connect to Lava Connect to. So if they want to just build this into what they're doing, we're already
awesome.
Working with people on that. But it's already enabled within Lava. And you know, the product is just getting better. Now that we've built this aggregator, we can already see like certain people are like kind of competing against each other to push fees down. So I think over this next year, fees are just going to go down significantly for buying Bitcoin and digital dollars, self-custody, and even withdrawals. Like I can already see like in 2 months, there's like we have some pretty big announcements coming of how low these fees are going to go.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that should be a huge volume game. So the fees should be very low and they should be trying to attract big volume. So that makes sense. Cool. Okay, that's exciting. And that's Lava Connect. And then the last thing you mentioned in the overview is Lava Free Pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like you said free. I mean, you could hear it in the name. It's a way to, with no fee, spend your digital dollars. Mm-hmm. But yeah, break that down for us.
So this is actually a problem I had. So at one point I was using Coinbase Wallet, which is like their self-custodial solution. And I had some like USDC on there. It was like a while ago and it was on ETH. And I didn't have enough ETH and I wanted to move my USDC. So I had to buy ETH and then put it into my wallet and then move my USDC. I think this is a problem that a lot of people who've played around with digital dollars have faced in the past, which is basically that whenever you want to use digital dollars on these other networks, you have to hold the network gas token to use those networks, mm-hmm. right? You have to manage another, essentially like shitcoin token balance, right? And we're really building this for Bitcoin, which is we really just want to hold Bitcoin and digital dollars. So the way the service works from a high level perspective is we actually have this like trustless service where whenever you want to make a transaction, it's almost like a partially signed transaction, if that makes sense. And this other service will pay the network fee and then broadcast the transaction, right? So all happens trustlessly. And right now, the networks we're on, the fees are so low, we're just subsidizing the network fee. So it's basically free digital dollar transactions globally within self-custody. And this is really nice. Let's say you want to send money to someone in India. You can just have, like I've used this for that. You can just have them download an app. They don't have to do any KYC or whatever. They can just receive dollars for free, which I think is pretty sick.
Yeah, no, that's dope. And to be clear, this is not for the BTC side. This is only for the digital dollar side.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the reason for this is almost all of our users just want to hold their Bitcoin and maybe borrow against it. And they want to take these dollars, and that's really what they're spending with. So most users, including myself, I'm very bullish on the Bitcoin price appreciation. There's no reason to buy about my Bitcoin.
Yep. Okay. And then for the magic happening in the back end, what networks are these running on? Because I know Tron is like the big dog in USDT. Solana is becoming a big powerhouse. So like how these work in the back end?
We're going to abstract all that stuff away. We're pretty network agnostic for these digital dollars, right? We've already abstracted a single network away. Like very soon we're going to abstract all these networks away. The first network we've launched on is Solana though. So it's just digital dollars on Solana. Soon we'll just abstract sending to any network.
Got it. Very cool. Yeah, I like that.
All that Solana stuff is really abstracted. You'll never even know you're using Solana if you're using the app.
Yeah, that's the future for sure. Yeah, I shouldn't have to pay a network fee or know I'm paying it. It should be auto-abstracted out of my base currency, like BTC, and it just does the magic.
Exactly. It's almost like the way it's set up right now is with other solutions is imagine you're using like PayPal. You have to hold PayPal stock to use PayPal to send money, right?
100%. Imagine
every PayPal user had to buy PayPal stock. That's absurd.
Yeah. No, when you put it that simply, it sounds ludicrous. So for sure. No, that's perfect. Okay. So that's the big three features. Anything else on the roadmap? What are you guys cooking right now?
Well, we have a few features in beta. So for example, loans, we have Bitcoin secured loans in beta. And I mean, that's like its own topic. Maybe we can do another pod about it later when that's publicly available. And yeah, there's like some other cool things really all around Bitcoin and digital dollars that are in beta as well. But loans is the next thing that will be launched pretty soon, which is basically trust minimized Bitcoin backed loans. You don't have to trust a central custodian, don't have to trust a bridge, minimizing Oracle assumptions as much as possible. Really the emphasis in building this was I want to borrow against my Bitcoin. I want to do it in the most trustless way possible and easily. So we built a protocol that can help you do that.
Love it. Yeah, we'll definitely do a round two for that one because that's the single most important use case, in my opinion, that people need to solve for. And like DeFi is trying it in different ways, but it's actually kind of shocking to me that most Bitcoiners don't think deep enough about like, okay, your Bitcoin's worth 10x what you got it at. Now what? And they're just like, I'm going to spend it or I'm going to sell. And it's like, ideally, you should take a loan against it because you don't have to take a tax hit. And you can get a low enough rate because this pristine collateral is going to be quickly seen as like not risky. And so you can get a low rate. So yeah, it's definitely shocked me people online, they don't, you know, do like the 3-step process to get to like, oh yeah, loans make the most sense.
Yeah. Online maybe, but on our beta, we have a ton of users signed up in our beta. It's like, honestly, just getting through them is like, we have a ton of demand for loans. So at least from my experience, a lot of people realize it. And a lot of people that are coming to us maybe had borrowed using these like more centralized solutions in the past and are coming to us because they want something more trustless, more secure, so they don't get rugged, right? And really, like, we could go a lot into this, but that's what we just really tried to build, something that can that minimizes trust assumptions as much as possible.
Yep, makes sense. Cool. That's most of the questions I have, although one left turn question, and this is new, so if you don't have a good answer, feel free to plead the fifth. But BitVM has been like a darling the past 6 months. Everyone's hyped about it. You know, one of N, you know, minority trust assumptions. And then today, so this is recorded on the fifth right now, the Taproot Wizards posted something saying, you know, actually BitVM is not as safe as you think it is. And so I'm just curious from your take, because you are like, you've done a lot of research on this topic. What's your kind of like high level overview of like BitVM? Is it overhyped? How secure is it? You know, curious.
I mean, I think like Ryan Dale and Tyler had a pretty compelling argument why BitVM bridges are broken. And it seemed like pretty, I don't know if that, I mean, it's true, right? So there's not much I have to say more about it. I'm not like a BitVM expert necessarily, if that makes sense. But I read their post earlier today, just a couple hours ago. And I actually spoke to them about it yesterday at this party. And yeah, okay. It's pretty compelling. I think that in general, bridges have experienced a lot of exploits. And I wasn't really surprised to hear that BitVM bridges were also flawed.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense. Cool. Well, then last question, just kind of broadly, what are you most excited about right now? In the Bitcoin space, there's a ton going on with upgrades, rollups, BitVM, Taproot, like all kinds of stuff. In the whole landscape, what are you most hyped about?
Really just what we're building with Lava. The nice thing about what we're building is it doesn't require a Bitcoin upgrade. So it's just nice that all the stuff we're building is already possible. It's already live. It's already working. We're just scaling it and releasing it. So I'm just really hyped about all the stuff we're building around onboarding more users through secure self-custody, through more secure self-custody use cases for Bitcoin.
Hell yeah. Preach, man. Preach. Okay. Cool. Any topic or thing I didn't ask that you want to close on?
I think you did a great job. Always enjoy talking to you.
Likewise, man. Likewise. Cool. I mean, I think we just crushed a half hour pod. We covered an absolute ton. Lava's dope, I will say, for people. Like, there's a ton of wallets out there, but when it comes to a good, nice, clean looking wallet that lets you self custody and spend, the beta I've played with is probably up as the best wallet I've seen so far. So I'll give you that praise, give you your flowers. So yeah, if people want to get involved and listen to this, when this drops, it should be live on the App Store, is my understanding. So yeah, drop the details.
Right now we're just waiting for App Store approval, right? So I'll let you know when people are listening to this, it's dropped. So we'd be really down to get people's feedback. And we're going to release I have a blog written up with a lot of other questions people might have that they can also check out.
Okay. And so when it's live, it's going to be iPhone only. So they'll type in Lava.
There's an Android and iPhone, but app.
Okay, cool. Then Android or app, all the phones around that everyone's using, you can just go type in Lava wallet and it should pop up when the time comes.
Yeah, the Lava wallet. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Dude, Shazan, thank you for what you're building. This is sorely needed. Love the way you guys designed this. So yeah, thanks for coming on the pod and dropping some knowledge.
Appreciate it. And would love to hear the feedback any of your users have. You know, we want to build with the user's feedback. That's what we've been
doing. Perfect. Love it. Love it. All right. People, all the links will be down below. So you can go harass Shazan on Twitter and give him your critical feedback. He needs it. But until next time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening this far into the episode. If you found it enjoyable, please do like, subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening on. YouTube does me a huge favor to like and subscribe. Find me on Twitter at Jake Blockchain. Show me some love. I reply to every DM. And if you are a Bitcoin builder that is kind of at the forefront of building new use cases, whether it's L1, Lightning, Stacks, Rootstock, Rollups, Ordinals, BRC20, I want to talk to you. So when I'm not doing this podcast, I am the sourcing partner at the Bitcoin Frontier Fund, where we invest in Bitcoin startups at the earliest stages, give you access to whatever you need, whether it's legal, product, fundraising help, as well as capital. So love to talk to you. You can hit me up. Again, find me on Twitter at Jake Blockchain and shoot me a DM. I'll read everything. Love to talk to you guys. Alright, peace. It's gone up. We playing the long game to the black rock chains with the rocks paid off from the blockchain. Going up high octane, so we up in here like pomade. Making big noise, big money, go play with your kid toys. You funny, I'm counting my Bitcoin. We up and we been gone. It's gone. Planned it out and we did this purposefully. Panning out like the kitchen currently. It's like surgery. Way it's earning me. A nurse's salary for cryptocurrency. I'm on a vacay drinking coconuts while wearing polka dots. This ain't no hocus pocus. Listen up and learn. It's gone up.